This morning, I'd like to take you on a journey that took place just a couple of days before that which she sang. Before you turn to the book of John, chapter number 18 this morning, the book of John, chapter number 18. If you're saved today, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever get excited about the things of God? Amen. Do you really get excited about the things of God? I mean, we really ought to. I mean, He is a great, wondrous Creator, Sustainer, Savior. And one of these days, He's going to take us right up to be with Him. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's because they got 6 feet farther to go. And we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Yeah. No more problems. No more frustrations. No more dopey people. I knew I'd get more response there. All right. I mean, it's going to be tremendous being with the Lord forever. But you know something? As a child of God, we have experiences right now that are tremendous too. Amen? I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I'm not going to tell you if you're living right that you're going to get rich. You might, but probably not. Because probably God's going to teach you some things through allowing Him to be rich in your life. You know what I'm saying? But God allows us to go through many, many things to teach us things that we might understand. He is a tremendous teacher. He really is. I mean, we're upon the face of this earth. I'm looking at the last 2 days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thinking of all the things that took place. I mean, we find here in these chapters, we find the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is preaching. And it doesn't all happen in one place. Some of it we find happening in the upper room. We find the Lord Jesus Christ as they partake of the Passover lamb. We find that, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our sacrifice, or our Passover, which is sacrificed for us, according to 1 Corinthians 9, or 5. We find that in that tremendous dinner they had, the Lord Jesus took the cup and the bread, and He said to the people, "This is my body which is broken for you." You know, the disciples didn't understand that yet. He had them take the cup and He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." And He told them to drink all of it, trying to describe to them that in just a few hours He was going to die upon the cross of Calvary, there where His body would be broken, but not a bone of it. Though the flesh was horribly broken, and His blood literally drained from His body, that you and I might have eternal life. That you and I might be able to experience what the Old Testament people did in Egypt. For in Egypt, they would take a lamb, as they were instructed, and they would kill that lamb, and they would take the blood of that lamb and put it in a bowl, and they'd take hyssop, which was kind of a weed-like substance, dip it into that, and they would take that and place it upon the top of the door, like where the exit sign is right there, and on the two sides, the side post. And that night, after the blood was applied, the death angel passed throughout the land of Egypt. In every home that did not have the blood applied, the firstborn died. Not only of the people, but also of all their animals. The firstborn died. But in the house of the Israelites who applied the blood, they all lived. It's a picture of what the blood of the Lamb can do in your life. For as you and I are willing to apply the blood of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, that death angel passes over. And you and I will never experience separation from God. You might experience separation from your body, but never from God. For to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. And so the Lord, He used some vivid things to teach His disciples. They walked by the temple. As they were walking, He was teaching them and prophesying and telling them what was going to take place in the very near future as that temple would be destroyed. And then our Lord does something. And we find that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 18 of the book of John. I'd like to read these two verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, the great Olivet Discourse, the wondrous things that He taught them, and then in chapter 17, the great intercessory prayer of our Savior. When He had spoken these things, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which He entered and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. He wasn't with them, but He knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this tremendous book. Lord, we thank You for all the things that You have given to us that we might know and understand Your wondrous will. Lord, we thank You that You teach us in so many marvelous, wonderful ways. We pray this morning that You would teach us. Oh God, that we might learn truth for our soul. Lord, whether one be here this morning without Christ as Savior, that they might realize their need, or we be here with Christ as our Savior and recognize that our life must be completely and totally enveloped by You. Bless in these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The Bible teaches us the devil as a roaring lion stalking about seeking whom he may what? Devour. We have this picture in our mind of this lion that's stalking its prey. We have within our ears the sound that begins to come forth as he roars. And that roar is designed basically to put fear into that animal, that it might dwell just a moment, that lion has an access quicker to it. God gives us a vivid picture that we might understand the ways of the devil. God over and over throughout His Word teaches us through all sorts of methods and things. We saw illustrated at the student convention a favorite verse of one of our girls, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." And in that verse, God wants us to understand that you and I ought to be studying the creatures of this earth, because in those creatures, we have the ability to understand spiritual truth. God does not give us anything in this world that we cannot use and understand the things of God from. Jesus is standing as He's teaching the people, and He looks across and He sees a man that's sowing seed, and He says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And no doubt He could even point to the man, and they could see in that illustrative manner and see the seed going in all directions. And He talks about four different kinds of soil upon which that seed falls. We have in our Savior a master teacher. We find that our Lord Jesus Christ, as He taught them in this tremendous discourse and told them truths that are simply magnificent. I get enraptured as I think about these truths. Chapter 15, He says, "I am the true vine and My Father is the husbandman." He says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He speaks of how you and I need to be basically pruned, that we might be lifted up out of the mire of the dust and the ground below, that we might be able to produce in our lives. God teaches us wonderful truth. We find in John chapter 16, the Lord teaches us some of the most dramatic truth of the Holy Spirit of God. He speaks of Him as our comforter, as our convictor. And yet when we come to chapter 18, we see something perhaps a little hidden, but yet our Lord in every moment is seeking to do something. Notice what He says again. When Jesus had spoken these words, He what? Went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron. The brook Kidron. Amazing as we stop and think about this little brook. For in this simple event, I believe the Lord is trying to develop in the minds of these people, of these disciples, some truth. Here's a little storm-fed stream which flowed only during the rainy season, but it had great significance in the early years that we could say parallel the Lord Jesus Christ. Its earliest mention in Scripture is when David crossed it. And you might remember that story because David had his own son Absalom rise up against him. We find in his son a betrayer. And as he betrays his father, Absalom flees the city, and the Bible says he crossed the brook Kidron. Interesting. But several centuries later, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to the same brook. And what do we know about Him? He has His betrayers on His heels. For we find the very next verse, and Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. And not only was Judas one who came, but the nation in general. And as we stop and consider what Jesus said in John 1, He says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And so our Savior here is coming to this brook. He has a betrayer upon his heels. We know that He said, He that dippeth his head in the sop with me is the one what? That's betrayed me. And it's not very many really moments later that as they come to this brook and cross over it to go into that garden, that Judas appears with the soldiers. We also find in the Word of God, as we go to 1 Kings, the story of another fellow. His name was Shimei. Shimei, as you might remember, after David crossed over the brook Kidron, he was the fellow who threw sticks and stones and dust at David. When David returned back into the city, they wanted to know, what should we do with Shimei? And he said, don't do anything with him. But when David came to the point in his life, he was about to die, he gave great instructions to his son Solomon. And he told Solomon, take care of the matter for me. One of the things that Solomon did was call Shimei into his presence. And he said to Shimei, you come to this city and you stay in this city. But if you cross the brook Kidron, the day you do, you shall surely die. There was a reason he mentioned that brook in that statement, is because to cross that brook meant that he would go back to his old life. It's not too long afterwards, after the agreement is made, that Shimei has a slave that escapes. And thinking the cause of death is now departed from him, he saddles his ass, and we find that he takes off and he goes across the brook Kidron. And when he returns to meet with Solomon. And we find that this man returned to his death. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken the place of all mankind who has been condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken the place of you and to me. And His crossing of this river, this stream, I should, this brook Kidron, demonstrated, I believe, to these disciples and to you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that He was about to die. But we find something else took place at this brook. It happened on several different occasions. And that is, it was a place where the rulers of Israel, those who were just men, those who were men who sought to bring reforms back to a nation that had fallen, would collect the idols and they would burn them and take those ashes and take them outside of the city and they would dump them, you know where, in the brook Kidron. By the way, idolatry is simply serving the creature rather than the Creator. Though we may not make idols of wood and stone today, you and I do so often return to serving the creature as compared to the Creator. And so we find in this a tremendous picture. Moses, I believe, set the stage for it on the Mount Sinai. We find that when he came down off of the mountain and they had made that golden calf, Moses, the Bible teaches us, took that golden calf and he ground it into powder and he made the people drink of it. But the Bible also says in Deuteronomy 9, verse 21, and it cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. It's interesting that what drains off of the temple floor of Jerusalem would flow into the brook Kidron. And what is interesting too is out of this mount, and when the reforms came, these men would bring the ashes into the brook. Josiah was one of these. Allow me to read 2 Kings 23. It says, the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. And carried the ashes of these into Bethel. And he set down at he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places and so forth. We find in 2 Kings 23:11, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. In the days of Hezekiah, we find the same thing taking place. In the days of Asa, we find the same thing taking place. And may I say to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this brook Kidron, is bearing upon His very soul the judgment for our idolatry. No wonder John, as he wrote the great epistle we call 1 John, as he wrote about the two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ, ended that book with what may sound like a verse out of place when he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The idolatry that you and I so often go back to, are we not glad Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary that we might be saved from it? As he crossed this brook Kidron, it had great significance. Ought to bring back memories to the disciples and help them in days to come. But notice with me where he went. It says, over the brook where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. We know from other scriptures that this garden was the Garden of Gethsemane. That becomes very interesting as we consider the meaning of Gethsemane. This was a garden where they would grow things. And it was a garden which there were trees. And one of the things that was grown here was olives. In this garden, because of its very name, and from an historical records was an olive press. The olive would be taken off of those trees that was harvested and be brought and placed in that press. And as the press would come down upon the olives and crush them, the oil would run forth. The Lord Jesus Christ went into that Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember what He did there? He prayed. Listen to these words in Luke chapter 22, saying, "Father, if Thou will be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will but Thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Listen to these words. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. As he was under the tremendous pressure of the sin of all mankind. Yet with all the teaching of the Lord, the disciples seemed to remain without understanding until He arose from the grave. With all the things that He had taught them through the 3.5 years, all the things that He had demonstrated to them, and yet when the Lord was captured, they ran in fear. They remained in that fear after the Lord Jesus Christ had died, He'd been in the grave, until the time they met the risen Savior. What's interesting, one of those men that was not present that day was, remember his name? Thomas. And Thomas, even after the other disciples said, "We've seen the Lord," he said, "Oh, I can't believe that." By the way, don't miss church. You might hear some things you can't believe too. And as he appeared the next time and saw the Lord even said to him, "Behold My hands and My feet." He said, "Thrust your hand in Mine and feel them." And Thomas said something that no other Christians ever said. "My Lord and My God." It wasn't until he met Him face to face. And you see, that'd be the problem so often in our lives. We do not understand and we discount so much of what God tries to teach us until we meet Him face to face. And allow Him to show His presence to us. Jesus, the Master Teacher. 11 men left. He has taught them through message. He has taught them through action. He has shown them. He's demonstrated. He's walked them through it. He crosses a brook and their memories go back to the Word of God and the things that took place at that brook. He goes into this garden, the place where the very oil was pressed out. He's in tremendous agony and the sweat begins to come. And it says, as great drops of blood. As His life is literally beginning to be pressed out of Him for you and for me. Do you believe what He did for you? He's shown you every way He knows how. And yet so often we ignore Him. And yet so often we turn our backs upon Him. And by the way, yet so often, even as His people, we don't want to see Him. We revert to the idols, to the things of this world, and allow Him not that place in our life. What a great Savior we have. that He laid down His life for you and for me. And I'm so glad it didn't stop there, because the Bible says He was raised for our justification. You know what that means, Christina? Not only was your sin paid for, not only do you not have to go to hell to pay for your sin, but He was raised for justification means you don't have to go there, but you get to go to heaven. To be in His presence forever. And your sister is really excited because she says, finally my sister will be perfect. Amen. God is good. Let's go to Him in prayer. Oh God, today, You teach us so many wondrous ways. Nothing You ever did was without purpose. You didn't record this little phrase in this one book, this one time, for no reason. But that we might remember and understand from these instances from the Old Testament how You want us to realize the importance of what You were doing. Lord, we thank You that You walked into that garden knowing full well what it meant and the agony that would be there. And yet You did that for us. And Lord, we know that it didn't stop there. As the betrayer did come and the soldiers took You away, though You had power to say no to them, You went willingly like a lamb that You might die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Lord Jesus, I pray You work in our hearts. I pray, O God, for those in this room who may not know Your Savior, they might see You. They might realize that, like Shimei of old, we're the ones who are held captive by our sin. We're the ones who cannot cross over that brook, but that You did it for us. And if we'll accept You, oh God, work in hearts this morning. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.